Good evening. As most of you probably know, as Mark said, we've adopted six children from China. And it's been a trip. It really has. It's been an exciting trip. And I guess we could say this is the Allen adoption journey. But more importantly, this is God's adoption journey because he made all of this possible. We could not have done it without God's help. God's been involved in not only helping us to finance it, but choosing the right child, because there are many people that go through adoption and just say, oh, I like her, we'll take her. Just the first one on the list. So we don't want to do that. So we're thankful for God's intervention in our lives, and we're thankful that we were able to adopt these six children. We were married in 1989, both married previously. Both our spouses are deceased now. I have one son, Craig. Gina has none. 10 years of marriage and three miscarriages, we decided to adopt. So, we have six children. We have Shannon, who's 18 years old now. She starts UNCG here tomorrow. She was adopted from China in 1999 when she was 17 months old. We have Suzanne, 17 years old now. She starts college tomorrow. She was adopted in 2000 at 21 months old. We have Jonathan. He's 17 as well. He was adopted from China in 2002. He was almost three, about 2 3/4. We have Sean. He's 16, adopted in 2001 from China. He's 11 years old. Sasha's 15 years old, adopted from China in 2012 at 11. And William, the last, he's 16 years old, adopted from China in 2014. He was almost 14 when we got him. He was the oldest. Jean and I have a motto. My motto is, there's always room for one more. Her motto is, wherever there's a will, there's a way. We like to look at how God has used scripture, different things in our lives, circumstances, people, and places that led Gene and I to adopt. It's been an interesting road. Here's some scriptures that impacted our decision to adopt. This is Hebrews 11, 8 through 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned into the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who he had promised. Job 29, verse 12. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that hath none to help him. A blessing of him that was ready to perish upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Galatians 4, 4 through 6. Thank you. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they may receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And you know, if we think about it, adoption is biblical. Jesus is adopted. Jacob was not his father. Moses was adopted. And all Christians are adopted. You and I are adopted into the kingdom of God. So that adoption is a natural thing. And we're thankful for the chance to participate in that. I think I'm going to move on over to the scriptures that pertain directly to adoption. This is Psalm 82, verse 3 and 4. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. This is Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth in the solitary families and bringeth out those who are bound with chains but rebellious dwelt in a dry land. Psalm 10, 14, and then 17 through 18. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it. With thy hand the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare thy heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Deuteronomy 10:17 and 18, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. After we got married, we joined Rockin' Old Baptist Church, which was her church in her childhood. And the pastor there, Ralph Webb, retired after 19 years, and we got a new pastor, John Estes. And after a couple of years, he got involved with a Baptist pastor in Simsbury, Connecticut, who wanted to start a new church. And in planning a new church, it's necessary to attract enough attention, get enough members to get started. So John suggested that we bring a group to Simsbury, Connecticut, and have backyard Bible study for Bible classes for all the kids in the neighborhood. So 15 of us piled into three minivans and drove to Simsbury, Connecticut, and divided in groups of three. So we had three backyard Bible clubs for the kids, and we got a chance to meet their parents too. But the interesting thing is, in my club, there was a little Asian girl, and I thought, well, this is interesting. I wonder if she has Asian parents. Well, at the end of the session, when her parents showed up, they were white. They were Caucasian. I thought, well, this is interesting. So I told Gina, and she came by the next day after the club, and we talked to the couple, and they had adopted this little girl from Holt. And we thought, this is interesting, adoption. We never had really considered adoption, but this may be something we want to talk about. So here God is planting a seed in our heart that adoption may be another way to grow your family. So we prayed about it and investigated Holt, and Gina called, and we found out that although Korea was out of bounds because I had aged out, they had a 40-year cutoff for Korea, China was wide open. So I thought, this is it. This is it. So we mulled this over a while. Meanwhile, over the years, we have we have hosted 45 exchange students. In fact, I'm sure you remember Hubert. He came to church here. Mike Wren came here and many others. And it worked out real well. But our second exchange student was a little girl from Paraguay named Sandra Chi. She was Chinese. And I thought, well, this is interesting, you know. We got to know her. She stayed with us a year. So we sort of developed a bond with her and got to know her. And over the years, we've kept in touch with Sandra. She's living in Hong Kong now and has three or four kids. So over the years, in going to that, we of course, were led to Shannon Hills, and we got to know the people here. And over the years, we had mentioned that we're interested in adopting from Holt, and we learned from Dick Andrews that he knew Harry Holt and that Harry was a brethren just like us. And so there was a tie there. In addition to that, Harry Holt had brought many kids back from Korea, and Dave Steenland's dad had adopted some of those. So here's another tie, and God is pulling all this together. So the story of Harry Holt is interesting because he and his wife had seen a film about all the orphans in Korea. You know, we were in Korea from 1950 to 53, and there were a lot of orphans in Korea after the war. Some of them were babies of GIs that abandoned them, but there were a lot of kids on the street. And it really touched Harry, and he wanted to do something about it. So he went to Korea and established an orphanage over there. He wanted to bring some home, but at that time there was no law in this country that would allow you to adopt a foreign child. So they got a law pushed through Congress so that people in this country could adopt overseas. So after the Senate passed that law, Harry adopted eight babies and brought them home. Now, Harry and Bertha had six of their own. So now they've got 14 kids. Imagine. So every child had a kid to take care of. So built-in babysitter. So this worked out well, and this was the start of Holt International Adoption Services, which, of course, is who we adopted five of our six kids from. You know, if you look at all the things that have happened in our lives, adoption is probably one of the best. But, you know, if you stop and think about it, who can afford it? Each adoption is almost $20,000 to $30,000, but God supplied all of our needs. All of our needs every time. He's always faithful to supply everything at the proper time. And you know, when we got ready to adopt Shannon, where is the money going to come from? We had no idea. It was just, I don't know. But we were assured that God would take care of us and that we would be able to go through with this. So we said, well, Gina had seen an ad that said, you know, you can refinance your house. We had a variable rate mortgage that was a leftover from the 80s. You know, the interest rate, the prime in 1982 was 22%. So you can imagine that refinancing our house in the 90s would have saved us a lot of money. So I went to the bank and refinanced the house. And the lady at the bank said, good news, Mr. Allen. You can borrow $20,000 now. You can take your wife on a cruise and have a ball. And I went home and told Gene. I said, hey, good news. We're rich. And she said, that's our adoption money. Oh, okay. Well, that's it. So there's the adoption money for Shannon. We had no idea. So God has provided for us to adopt Shannon. So in the process of going through the adoption of Shannon, and all, of course, my dad had passed away and my mother had already passed away and all. So Dad had said before he died, you need to get a handicapped child. And I said, oh, well, yeah, we could do that. We had applied, when we applied to adopt Shannon, we applied for a healthy 0 to 2 year old infant. And also, this time, Holt had a nice waiting China list of all the available kids that had special needs. And I thought, sure, let's do that. So after I got my inheritance, I said, well, we've got enough money now to adopt number two. Let's go ahead and get a handicapped child, as Dad suggested. So we looked and we inquired of Holt for a child with missing limbs and discovered Suzanne. The only problem was six other families were interested too. It's one thing I didn't care about. I can see the philosophy in choosing among multiple families for a single child, but it pits you against everybody else. And I would rather have had, okay, she's yours, that's it. But I thought, let's give it a try. So we applied and we joined the group. And we thought, we're number six, we're Johnny come lately, it's never going to happen. Was I wrong? Holt called in a week and said, our committee has made the decision. Suzanne is yours. Whoa! Praise the Lord. So, that's number two. And when we went to get Susie, we took Shannon with us. So now there's three of us. And at that point, my wife, who I'm sure you know has peanut allergy and food allergies and a lot of health problems, but praise the Lord, United was a peanut-free, nut-free airline. So we were able to fly to China without any problems. So the three of us boarded the plane and took off to China and got Suzanne. And then we realized, because Suzanne was in the same orphanage that Shannon was a year and a half earlier, we realized that Susie was in the orphanage when we adopted Shannon. And we probably saw her and just didn't realize she's number two. After Suzanne, we realized that, hey, we've still got some money left. Let's go after number three. At this point, my wife is gagging. But I'll have to give it to Gina now. She's been a good sport. But it's impossible to put into words what she has gone through just doing all the paperwork. And the paperwork for foreign adoption is daunting. It really is. It's amazing how much they want. You have visas and applications to the government, applications to the China Adoption Agency, and so forth and so on, and passports, and it goes on and on and on. So I'm proud of my wife. She has done a great job with the paperwork. I could never have done that. But we decided this time, Shannon was sort of saying, you know, I'd like to have a brother. So I thought, let's get a boy. And we decided on the same special need. But, you know, boys are harder to adopt. And I don't know why, except to say that, well, you know, boys eat you out of house and home and so forth and so on. But most people that adopt foreign want a girl. So we decided, let's get a boy. Let's do it different. So we decided on a boy with the same special need that Susie has. And I thought this was fair. So we prayed. We got down on our knees and prayed and asked God to send us the child that he had picked out for us. Now, we prayed that, and this may be selfish, this may be, I'm asking God for a sign, but we prayed that the lady at Hope would call us the next day and offer us the right child. Now, you know, you can say, oh, okay, good for you. The next day, I'm at work, and Gina's at home, and the phone rings, and it's Laurel Anderson with Hope, and she says, I have a boy for you that is not on our website, that you don't know anything about, but he would be perfect for your family. And I'm sure she almost dropped the phone because she called me afterwards and said, you're not going to believe this, Larry. So God answered our prayer. So we're absolutely sure that Jonathan is the right one. Let me show you a video of, this is a Channel 11 newscast blip. What happened was U.S. inadvertently bombed the Chinese embassy in Kosovo. And of course, China's all up in arms about this and demanding an apology and this, that, and the other. And it was not too much later that two planes collided, one Chinese and one U.S., and China is demanding an apology about that, and we're thinking, oh, no, this is going to impact our adoption. This is not good, but it really didn't affect it. But the TV station called Holt and said, we'd like to interview somebody that has adopted or is going to adopt and to see how this is impacting them and what's going on. And the lady at Holt said, I got the perfect person for you. So they called Gina and made the arrangements, and she drove to Hillsboro and did the two-minute interview and all. And I'll have to apologize. The video quality is not the best because it recorded off the air from a station in Durham. But it's neat because it shows a very young Susie and Shannon, and they're going to kill me when they see it.
The standoff with China over a U.S. spy plane that collided with a Chinese fighter jet is now in its second week. Here are today's developments. President Bush gave a warning today at a White House briefing, saying every day the 24 crew members are held strains our relationship with China further. China has allowed American diplomats a fourth visit with the crew members, and Chinese officials are again insisting the U.S. government apologize for the collision with the jet and accept full blame. This strain in U.S.-China relations could have an unintended impact on some North Carolina families. As Eyewitness News reporter Melody Hunter-Pillion shows us, local couples planning overseas adoptions of Chinese babies are following these recent events very closely.
A lot of North Carolina families adopt children like Shannon and Susie from China. But could the current tensions between the U.S. and China swing the fate of children there who need homes and families here who want them? 2-year-old Susie Allen giggles with joy today, 6 months after being adopted from China and brought back to North Carolina. Regina Allen and her husband also adopted 3-year-old Shannon from China 2 years ago. And the Allens are preparing to bring the girls home a brother, Danny, if they are the chosen family and the adoption goes through.
So Shannon's really excited about having a brother. She put a request in right before we got Suzanne.
That she wanted a brother. Regina hopes the U.S.-China plane collision doesn't wreck Shannon's hopes. Regina says she's been on pins and needles before during another U.S.-China impasse when the U.S. accidentally bombed the Chinese embassy in the former Yugoslavia.
It slowed us down a little bit when we got Shannon because of the bombing in Kosovo of the Chinese embassy. The Hope wanted to make sure that there was no danger for us to travel. There were some families currently there when that happened, and they had absolutely no problems.
International adoption agencies like Holt, the one the Allens use, have posted website updates on the current crisis for clients who they say are calling with concerns. Regina says, like before, she doesn't expect a political incident between the two countries to stop personal adoptions between giving families and children in need.
That would be very disappointing. There are at least 100,000 girls in China available for adoption, waiting for families.
Melody Hunter-Pillion, ABC 11, Eyewitness News.
The neat thing about the call that Gina received was this. Of course, when Laurel called, she had no idea of the night before prayer. She was just calling to inform us that here was somebody that was available for adoption. But when Gina heard Laurel, and Laurel told her, we have this person, we have this boy that's available for adoption and all, let me send you his referral information, the picture, and the acceptance letter. And Gina said, I'll take him. And Laurel said, no, you don't understand. I'll send you the acceptance letter and the medical information and the photo. Then you can decide. Gina said, I'll take him. And then Gina explained that we had prayed and this was our answer to prayer. So we took John sight unseen because we knew absolutely positively that John was the right one. So now we go pick up John. Now we have 3 children under 4 years of age and we're attracting a lot of attention. When we go to K&W on Sunday for lunch, the little old ladies are saying, are they really yours? Are they brothers and sisters? Well, yeah, they are now. But we loved the attention. We loved it. And of course, everyone that approached us, we got a chance to talk about adoption. And I'm hoping that we made a difference, that somebody said, oh, I never thought about that. But it gave us it opened the door to a lot of discussion about, wow, I could do that. That's not difficult. Because when you think about it, it's daunting, but it's not. It's not difficult. We wanted another kid and another boy, and this was late 2003 or 2004. So Gina called Holt to talk about another adoption, and she asked if Xiao Xiao, who was our guide in China for the first 2 adoptions, if she was still in China. And the lady Holt said, well, she's here. You want to talk to her? So Gina said, yeah. She was in Eugene, Oregon, training. So Gina got a chance to talk to her and all, and we were able to get one of the boys in foster care that we had thought about adopting. And not long after that, Xiao Xiao decided to leave Holt and go with a foster care program. And between that and a couple of other people involved in it, they started Grace and Hope. And Gina got involved in that on the board of directors. So now Grace and Hope in China is getting kids out of orphanages and into foster care. Foster care, I don't know whether you know it or not, but there are really no orphanages in this country. All the kids are in foster care. In China, it's quite the opposite. Foster care in China is brand new. Wow, what a unique idea. We never thought about that. But the problem in China is, with this one-child policy that they've had for 25 years, it's sort of restrictive and all. And there's a weird situation going on in China. When Mao Zedong was in power, he wanted as many people as possible to be born. He said, the more the merrier. So Chairman Mao encouraged large families because he thought that was China's strength. There were families in China having 5 and 6 kids. When he died in the late 70s, the new dictator, for a lack of a better word, looked at the population and said, whoa, wait a minute. If this continues, this country's not going to be able to support the people here. So in 1979 and then in 1980, it became law. The Chinese instituted this one-child policy. One child and that's it. Now in Tibet, it was a little bit looser. On the farms, it was a little looser, where maybe you had a girl the first time and you wanted a boy, and you could have a second child. But in the big urban areas, the big cities, it was one child. What this has done, though, after 25 years, this has produced a real lopsided population. Now there's 126 males for every female. In some villages, there are no women, because there are so many men. The problem with China is there's no Social Security. You know, when we retire, we can at least get something from the government. But in China, that's it. So the Chinese families want a male because he will support the family in their old age. Sorry about that, girls. So the male is, and if you can only have one child, it's got to be a male. So if it's a female, they're either abandoned or aborted, which is sad. But what that does is produces a lopsided population. And what it's done in China has caused a lot of grief, because you have so many men. You have men that can't find wives. You can't get married. And I think the Chinese have finally begun to say, whoa, wait a minute, this is not right. We've got to have women or we're not going to grow. So last year they said you can have two. So now the Chinese families can have two kids. So if you don't have a male the first time, hopefully you will the second time. In 2009, we finally decided we'd go after an older girl. We were older, and I had aged out of babies. I mean, who 60 years old wants a baby, right? So we decided to go after an older girl, and few people, of course, were talking about adopting older children. And we looked at several girls and finally picked one, and of course another family picked this girl too, and as it would turn out, the other family was chosen. And we thought, oh man, that must not have been the Lord's will. So we didn't understand that completely. But then in January 2010, Gina's mom died, and we realized that, well, the Lord was protecting us, because if we got involved in an adoption and then had a death in the family, that wouldn't have been good. So we're saying, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and all. And then our agency said, well, maybe you ought to wait till spring before you try it again. And then Beth Smith, who was director of China Services at Holt, said, you know, maybe a boy would better fit your family at this time. So we looked, and yeah, we thought so. So that's how we found Sean. We had no idea how to finance Sean's adoption. We just didn't have any money after five adoptions or four adoptions. So, well, we knew God was calling us, so we thought, well, we'll just say yes and God will provide. So we went forth not knowing where the money would come from. We just trusted God. But then in the process, Gina's dad died at 95. So now her inheritance paid for Sean. So we thought, well, this is the way to do it. God provides again. Sean was a true orphan. His mother and father had both passed away. His uncle had tried taking care of him, and that didn't work. It was too much of a burden, and his sister tried, and then finally had to send him off to an orphanage. So we were able to get Sean, but he'd only been there about a year and a half, so he assimilated into our family quite nicely, and we're just truly blessed that we've got Sean. Months and months passed, and Gina began to dream about that little girl again. She's popping up one more time. So we had no idea where the child was coming from, so we prayed in earnest for guidance, because at this point we had no idea. But Gina's inheritance was enough to pay for another adoption. So after an inquiry, we found Sasha. And we went ahead and we prayed, and we felt like Sasha was the one, so we went ahead and adopted her. Shannon had wanted a younger sister, so she got her wish as well. After we got Sasha, she was begging us to adopt her best friend, Melody, in the orphanage. And we looked at adopting her best friend, but somebody else had already applied for her, so that wasn't going to work out. So in the meantime, we went and applied for William and got that in the works and adopted him. The couple that went after Melody kept her for one day. Melody had childhood glaucoma and couldn't see real well, and I don't honestly think the family was really aware of all the medical problems that this little girl had. And she couldn't keep up, she tripped, she did this and did that because she couldn't see. So after one day, they took her back to the orphanage and disrupted the adoption. So now Sasha's best friend was available again, but we were already in the process for William. And fortunately, someone in Huntsville, Alabama, a Christian family, adopted her. So now Sasha's best friend has a Christian home as well. The couple that had adopted or went after and disrupted Melody, Sasha's best friend, had offered to give us money to help finance our adoption with William. And, you know, we were sort of hesitant to take money from people. They were Buddhist, and one was a Buddhist, and the other was an atheist and all. But, you know, we felt like God said, go ahead, use the money. It's a gift. And let them pay for part of your adoption. So we did that, and that worked out well. You know, everything in this world is God's anyway, so we didn't feel like the money was that big a deal. So I guess the question I'm going to ask you is, are we done? Remember what I said, there's always room for one more. I will tell you this. Here lately, Gina's been having dreams of a little girl, Rachel. I don't know. I would take them all. I really would. I love children. But who knows? So anyway, we're pleased with the ones we have, and the Lord has blessed us and been good to us and helped us with our adoption. I hope you've enjoyed our adoption story. We have Grace and Hope brochures in the narthex if you're interested in supporting adoption. We have ice cream next door. Remember, folks, free food has no calories. You're laughing at me. Well, let's pray and we'll go next door and enjoy the rest of the evening. Dear Lord, thank you for the chance to tell our story. I pray that if there's anyone interested, they'll take that first step and go for the adoption, Lord. Thank you for our fellowship tonight. Please bless our food and drink to the nourishment of our body. Help us all to have a safe and well Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.